Right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bravo and the Brits, the podcast with a distinctly English take on all things reality TV. Hi, Faith. How are you?
Hi, I'm surviving lockdown one day at a time.
I think we're all just taking it one day.
I keep seeing all these things where it's like, and it's so true, where it's like you have like 3 or 4 days where you're like, this isn't so bad, you know, I'm coping. And then like the third or fourth day, it's like, oh, when will this end?
I saw a tweet the other day that really resonated with me that said that March felt like it lasted forever. And then April simultaneously felt like it lasted forever, but also was over really fast.
Yeah, like I literally cannot believe tomorrow is the 1st of May. I don't know when that happened. I keep thinking we're like at the start of April.
It's something, it said also something about like the elasticity of time, which sounded so great.
I love that theory.
Yeah, that's so true though.
It is. It sounds like such a great notion. It's like, I always think this, like when I think back on things, I'm like, God, that feels like forever ago. But then time seems to have just vanished into nothing.
Collapsed in on itself.
Yeah.
I think it's weird as well because we're all kind of roughly following the same kind of timeline. Do you know what I mean? So some people live their lives really mile a minute, and then some people are a lot more kind of lethargic and like slow paced. Whereas we've kind of all been forced to slow to this quite, like we're all operating on more or less the same level. Like even my friends who are normally super productive, get loads done. Like I feel like everyone's kind of been pushed back a bit.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And like, I feel like everything's kind of just ground to this sort of weird halt. And it's weird, like you say, like same thing. Like I have friends who work like crazy shift patterns and like work these like really long weeks and things like that. And there's just so much like of them just sat doing nothing now and living these really sort of like mellow, lackadaisical lives where it's like, it's so odd to see. And it's the same in our house. Like Greg's always a mile a minute with like work and drawings and things like that. And at the minute, he's just like, I've just got nothing to do. He was like, it's so weird. He was like, in like the 13 years I've been towing, he's like, I've never had nothing to do.
Yeah, it's very like listless as a feeling.
Yeah.
I feel amoebic. Like I'm just kind of floating around, you know, like wafting from my kitchen to my bedroom to the bathtub, back again. And I don't know. I don't know if I don't really like slowing down, and I feel like I don't function very well when I am slowed. So I don't know if I'll be able to keep some of the good habits from it where I'm like cooking more and, you know, taking a bit more time to read and relax. I don't know if I'll be able to like pull that through into when things start to go back to normal.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like I'm kind of one of these people where I feel like as soon as I take my foot off the accelerator a little bit, I feel like I sort of fall apart where I stop doing really basic tasks and everything suddenly becomes harder. Whereas like I feel like when I like function at a very high level of stress and rush and things to do and places to go and people to see and stuff to get done, I feel like I function so much better as like a human being.
Yeah, because it gives you that structure where you know you have to like fit certain things into a certain time, whereas we've got this just indefinite time period at the moment where it's like, well, I don't need to do that today because I can do that tomorrow. You know, if we knew lockdown in a month was going to end, we could all start to structure our time around it and work out what we were going to do.
Exactly. But at the minute, it's just this like never ending spans of time where it's like, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be, you know, by the end of this year when everything gets back to normal. And it's so hard to kind of have any sense of urgency to get stuff done. Like we were saying before, like life admin things just piling up where it's like, oh, there's no rush for anything. And I've just not done anything instead.
I know it's but life admin is always a struggle. I would love to get to a point to like hire a secretary to deal with all of that, or like a PA.
Oh, I would love that.
Would you do it the Ramona way? Would you get like a hot young guy?
Yeah. Or like in Bethany's thing, like Bethany ever afterwards, she was like hiring that guy and she's like, yeah, he's really hot, like let's do it.
Oh, I liked the one that I think she didn't end up hiring him, but they went to like a taco place together. Do you remember him?
God, yes. And he was like a massive nerd.
Oh my God, I loved him.
I did as well. I was so sad she didn't hire him.
And then she took the bloody bimbo.
I know.
God, I started watching Bethany Ever After at the start of lockdown and I had to stop because it kind of felt too dark.
Yeah, I did the same thing where I'd never seen it before and I started watching it and I think it got about halfway through and I was like, I just can't watch this knowing how like Jason turned out.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You feel like you're in bed with the abuser at that point.
Yeah, and you kind of want to be like reaching through the screen like, no, get out now.
I know. Yeah, I was finding myself like talking back to the TV, being like, can't you see? This is just not good. This is not a good situation. Like, oh, dear. Anyway, we're here today to talk about Vanderpump.
Oh, finally, the reawakening of Vanderpump Rules.
Okay, you felt it was a reawakening.
I did a little bit. I can't believe it took us 17 episodes to get to a point where the actual entire episode felt cohesive.
Yeah, I think it did. I think because it revolved just around those two central events.
Yeah, which is like, I feel like that softball game should have happened very, very early on because it seemed like a much more sort of organic way of having all the groups combine.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Whereas, like, obviously everything up until this point felt like they've just jammed the newbies into, like, the old crew's situations and be like, yeah, this fits. They should definitely be here when in real life they would not be.
And just inserted Sheena.
Yeah.
Strategic points.
They've got to have some comic relief.
So we start off at Stacy and Beau's place, and Stacy is doing her redemption act, bringing Beau some hangover food, I guess.
Yeah, the little the Kraft box mac and cheese.
That looks so disgusting.
I know. I mean, I love mac and cheese, but the idea of that, like, just coming out of a cardboard box is not doing it for me at all. Like, really, how hard is it to make some pasta and put some cheese on it?
Is it powdered, that stuff?
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
I know. That's
disgusting. Do you remember that TV show from, like, when we were younger that was about the badger that was obsessed with powder?
Oh, my God, Bodger and Badger.
Okay, I think you should explain for the benefit of the international audience, which is entirely located in the States at this point, what the central premise of Bodger and Badger was.
So there was a very creepy main guy, and then there was just this like haggard, terrifying puppet of a badger that used to live in the walls. I think it lived in the walls. And would cause mayhem for the main antagonist. I'm making this sound so literary. Basically, it was a creepy puppet that used to just fuck things up for. And it used to live off mashed potato.
Yeah, so where did the powdered mashed potato come into it? That was his favourite food.
I think it was, yeah. And he used to just like eat great big bowls of it. And I remember even as a child being mildly terrified of this badger puppet. But also as a side note, at random periods throughout time, and I mean like at least once a month, I get the Bodger and Badger theme song stuck in my head and I can't get it out for days.
Wait, how does it go again?
It's like Bodger and Badger, Bodger and Badger. I apologize for my singing.
Doesn't it go at one point like Bodger likes mashed potatoes? Have I just made that up?
No, I'm sure it does. It's like na 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 na. And wasn't that like a weird little mouse thing as well?
Yes. Wasn't it a rat?
I need to Google this immediately.
Please Google it. I think that was one of the weirder shows on.
It was. I mean, even like the guy in it was creepy.
Yeah, because wasn't he always in like dungarees and he had like a bowl haircut?
Yeah, and he always wore like a weird sort of straw fedora kind of thing.
Fedora in any context. I really want to see that new documentary, That Feeling When No Girlfriend. It's about like the incel community.
Oh, I haven't seen that. What's it on?
Well, I think it's Amazon, but I'm gonna try and get like a streaming link.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. I'll definitely have to give that a watch
just because I want to depress myself some more. Yeah.
You might as well continue.
Be really happy right now because we're literally all involuntarily, well, the single ones of us who are not flouting the laws of our good nation are all involuntarily celibate.
Although from what I can gather, it's not through lack of trying from the male counterparts here.
No, I mean, I deleted all the dating apps just because I was like, this is effort and I just can't really be arsed with it, especially just because, yeah, I just felt like, what's the point? But back when I was on them quite a bit, this is sort of March time, start of March and stuff, it was literally like the amount of people that were like, hey, I'm looking for a quarantine buddy.
Oh, no. Crazy. I can't imagine anything worse than being involuntarily locked into somewhere on government order with a complete stranger.
I know. I mean,
it's essentially prison. Let's be real.
It's either a sitcom or, like, gonna end in homicide, isn't it?
There is only two ways that that can go.
So, Bo is explaining that he didn't avoid the fight the night before because he wanted to keep the surprise of the proposal.
I feel so bad for him. Like, I feel like he's really just, like, had his life made so much harder in the, like, coming weeks to this. Like, I'm sure she's probably like this all the time, but obviously from the edits and things, it seems like the last sort of month or so of their relationship has just been, like, hard fucking work for him, and everything could be solved every time if he could have just ruined the surprise.
Exactly, and if he'd have ruined it, she'd have been furious.
Oh, she'd never have, like, forgiven him for that.
I think this is just the thing, she's just that good looking. It's just like, hot girls can get away with being so much crazier.
Oh, they can. They really can. It's a science.
And then he tries Stassi's. I think she makes the cacio e pepe cheese. And he's literally eating it from this massive gold... It almost looks like a fruit bowl, like a decorative bowl.
Yeah. It looks like a giant, like, mixing bowl or something. I can't fathom why she made, like, a one-person portion of mac and cheese in this bowl.
And then served it in that.
Yeah, like, even if you're making it in that, just dish it up onto a plate or something.
But I did realise that, like, the entire flat is just mirrored. Like, Stassi just loves, like, a mirrored metallic interior.
Oh, she does. You know she does.
And so the whole premise of the proposal is that they're going to go mausoleum shopping.
Which I actually love. So Greg actually watched this episode with me. Well, I say with me. He was on the sofa drawing while I had it on. And even his ears pricked up at that. And he was like, is he proposing in a graveyard? And I was like, yes, he is. And he was like, oh. And he didn't have anything scathing to say, which I think is a huge, huge success for us.
I think it's kind of punk rock.
I do as well. I love that. And considering Stassi is so basic, I sort of love that she has this weird morbid undertone to her.
Yeah, I quite liked it. I've been on dates in cemeteries before.
So have I. I quite enjoy them. I enjoy a good look around a graveyard.
Was this before or after you got your septum pierced in McDonald's?
It was after. In fact, almost all of them have been with Greg, which is nice.
Oh, really?
There's an amazing one in Edinburgh, and we did, like, a ghost walk through it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It was unreal. I mean, they were like, oh, like, don't you feel how eerie it sounds? I mean, Greg were like, I feel quite at home here.
This feels right. This feels,
yes. I'm quite comfortable.
So then we go to Sir, and Brett is folding napkins, and we just get, like, again, a very general montage of Sir trying to make it look really busy.
Yeah. Can I just say, as a side note, the Sir outfits are so shit compared to what they used to be.
Are they just those black t-shirts with the gold lettering?
Yeah, or like a t-shirt dress if they're trying to be, like, sexy about it. But, like, they used to be so much more, like, detailed, and, like, all the patterns in there, the cut-out back dresses and things like that. And they were so much nicer and so much more interesting. And it's like, oh, Lisa, you've gone so basic.
Yeah, I remember those first dresses from, like, seasons 1 to 3.
Yeah, they were like a weird paisley almost.
Yeah, like very boho, very Anastasia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely much preferred those. But I also found in this scene, so obviously, like, Peter's talking to Danica, and when Peter was like, oh, I maybe have to go pick myself up some more sex toys, and just that idea and the picture that that painted in my head was enough to just put me off the rest of the episode by itself.
That's really funny, because I've literally written in my notes, Peter's chin strap is shocking, and I don't want anyone with that sort of facial hair to make lighthearted sex toy commentary. So I think we were both feeling the same at that point.
I was horrified. It was just grim beyond belief.
It's his slightly, like, Kermit-y voice as well.
Yeah, and that laugh that he was like, whoo, 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 whoo. Oh, no, unacceptable. I did feel bad for him, though, when Danica was like, oh, I didn't get you any socks. I didn't think you were playing. And I was like, oh, it's like being the kid at school again, isn't it?
Literally everyone forgets about Peter.
No. And it says something that, despite the fact that he's been in literally every season, at no point has he been a main cast member.
No, but this is where I'm like, step up to the plate, Peter. Like, you could start some shit if you wanted.
Yeah, stir things up a little bit, have a bit of fun. And I mean, the fact that he used to go out with Stacey is just mortifying as well.
Yeah, didn't he also go out with Kristen or Casey?
Yeah, I think it was it Kristen?
I think he's done the rounds, you know.
Yeah, I think he has. He's just done it in a very sort of undercover way.
Not the one.
No, I mean, all of them are better than that, let's be honest.
I think I would rather have sex with Jax.
Yeah, no, I genuinely would as well. Poor Peter. He's so harmless, but he's just so, oh, he's just such a turn off, isn't he?
I feel like he could be really fit, but there's just something about his face. He's got very like soft features, you know, everything's like rounded.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, and sort of
He's
like not very much
in any
definition.
way. Yeah, he's not fat in any way, but he's not got that like ruggedness. Like he's got very like soft eyes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like, oh, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. And like, I think in a surface level, like he is quite attractive, but there's just something about him that's so unappealing.
Yeah.
And I can't really put my finger on what it is.
I mean, I have heard on like various other pods and stuff that he can be quite like sleazy with fans, which I think also puts
Oh,
me off.
yeah, and I can so imagine that as well. Do you know what I mean?
So then we go to Tom and Ariana's, and they're going to do some practice softball exercises. The white Kanye shows up.
You know, as much as I dislike James, like he is growing on me a little bit this series, and I think it is just now that he's not being like an obnoxious asshole all the time.
I like James, but I think I started liking him when I realized when his parents were on, and I
Oh,
realized like, okay, this explains a lot.
so much. And like the way that his mum went on was just ghastly.
Yeah, so I think at that point I was like, okay, this is hurt people kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's a little bit more understandable.
Yeah.
But I do also like that Tom and Ariana have just completely stood by him, like no matter what. Like I think it's a testament to what like good people they both are.
I feel like Tom and Ariana don't need to conceive biologically. Like, James is essentially like their son.
Yeah. Yeah. He just became this weird, like a nearly 30-year-old adoptee that they've got.
Yeah, so James is like, look, I'm from London, all right? I can't do it.
Was pretty spot on.
We play cricket. No, I can't do it.
I know, he's like, oh, we don't have softball, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I mean, softball's basically rounders. Like when he was trying to say it's cricket, it was like, don't make it
I
more
literally
exciting than it
wrote
is.
this down. I was like, I thought rounders was actually more similar to
I
softball.
literally wrote, I think rounders is more like softball.
Yeah, we used to play rounders sometimes. We also used to play actual baseball.
Oh, did you? That's fun.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have any like sports fields, so we had to do everything on concrete,
Oh.
which made things pretty intense because if you were like trying to get a home run and you skidded, like you would just take a whole layer of skin off.
Sounds
Same
horrifying.
football, same for everything.
That is awful.
Yeah,
Oh, we
we
were quite lucky. We had actual grass to play on.
had
But
no,
yeah, we only did
we
only
left.
did rounders.
But then yeah, I did lol when he said that if Sandoval can manage it, then he's pretty sure he can.
That made me laugh as well. I also love the cuts between like them playing this like really intense game of softball in the garden. Ariana just kissing the dog and just like letting lick around the inside of her mouth.
Oh.
It gave me such Sonia vibes.
Yeah, that's a Sonia moment, making out with a dog.
Yeah.
I love that there's like undertones of like bestiality on this show with
Yeah.
like Lisa sexualizes the dogs a lot, but then you also
So
get like Real Housewives of Atlanta with Portia with the possible Dennis storyline. Like,
much. And then there's always Sonia and her dogs as well. So, yeah, it's definitely an undertone, isn't it, to the Bravo franchises?
from east to west
Yeah,
to the south.
everything in between. Oh,
So I really, oh, sorry, go on.
I was just gonna say, so we get to the mausoleum shopping.
Oh, wait, I was just gonna say really quickly that I thought Sandoval's little like supportive testimonial about James was so sweet. Like,
Oh, I did as well.
genuinely see that he's like pleased to see him on the right track. And I just feel like Tom is all about people like optimizing their lives for themselves. Like he gets a lot of joy from like seeing people thriving, and like he wants to assist in that. And that's why I will always love him and his perfect eyebrows.
No, I do. I completely agree though. Like, I think it's so lovely that, like, you can tell Tom does just genuinely want like the best for everybody and everybody to be their best, which I think is really nice.
It felt very like genuine and authentic.
Yeah.
It's like, that's awesome, dude. You know, when James was like, yeah, I haven't drank for like a month.
Yeah. And even Sandoval was, not Sandoval, sorry, Schwartz was being quite supportive as well, which was nice. Because Schwartz always has a tendency to just sort of mask everything with like ill-conceived humor. So it was nice to see him be like genuinely like, oh yeah, that's really good, which is not really setting the bar very high for him at all, but let's face it, his bar is very low,
very very low. And then, yeah, so I just also noticed this, like, as we're transitioning to the mausoleum scene, we literally just have a shot that's like a rotating shot of a fire hydrant, like the close-up of the knob on a fire hydrant. And I was just like, are we really running that low on footage of like LA traffic that we have to start bringing like architecture into things? It just felt strange. Like, we might get like a roadwork signage montage next time. Yeah. Transitioning.
They'll be writing these down as well. They'll be like, oh, what else can we put in? They'll probably be like really, really close up of like a number plate and things like that. They're trying to get all creative and artsy with it. It just doesn't work.
So we head to the cemetery, and Stassi is explaining that taking Beau there is basically ensuring that he's committing not only for this lifetime, but also the next.
Which I think is just the most Stassi way of looking at anything ever.
It is.
He might not be committing to me right now, but also you'll be trapped with me in the afterlife forever and ever.
She has no chill.
No. I like, do you know what it is? I kind of love the fact that she doesn't even try and hide it. Like, she doesn't try and pretend she's really cool while secretly being, like, insane. She's just out and out about it, which you have to respect.
Oh, I fully, fully respect it. And I think I can probably be quite similar. I mean, you know what I was like at the start of this year. Like, I had no chill at all with regards to that.
I think it's for the best, though. I genuinely think you get the best results from it.
Yeah, I just feel like, I think it takes a lot to like hook me, you know, yeah, kind of level. So when I do get hooked, it tends to be like, oh my God, okay. Like, you know, it goes downhill pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But I think that's why it is good to just sort of be like, just put everything out there and just be like, look, this is what I expect. And if you can't live up to that, then bye.
Yeah, I very much just try and lay things out on the table like early on. And it's not because I'm trying to initiate like a serious dialogue, because I'm quite happy with like taking things slow. But it's just like, why would you waste your time on someone if you've got like fundamental things that don't align?
Exactly. No, I completely agree. That's why I think it's like, people always think it's weird, but like, I always think it's really good to talk about things like whether you want to have kids and whether you want to get married and stuff. And like, it doesn't have to be like an intense conversation, but just like a sort of casual chat about it, I think is always beneficial. Because otherwise you end up being with somebody like 3 years and then they're like, oh, I love children. And you're like, children repulse me. And then you kind of go, well, what do we do now?
Exactly. I was, oh my God, I remember when I still thought I was going to Chicago for like a couple of days. I had my passport on and I was swiping in Chicago because I was like, cool, like, I, you know, I've got 3 months before I'm going, but you know, if I meet someone and we chat a bit, then you know, it'd be nice like to have dinners to go to. And I got talking to this guy, and actually I'm just gonna really quickly try and find the conversation.
I'm so excited.
Because it was just the most ridiculous thing ever. Oh yeah. And then I remember being really shook because like we were talking for a bit, and then he was like, oh, can we move to I said, oh, can we move to WhatsApp because it's a bit difficult to like talk on Tinder because the app's a bit shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't have WhatsApp. He was like, I'll text you. And then he sent me a fucking text message from America. Which I was just like, well, obviously that's gonna like insanely take up a load of money for you, and that's just insane.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, okay. So this, okay, context of this, we had actually been speaking for a bit, mm-hmm. like completely out of nowhere, but not for long at all. He says, do you think you could be convinced to have 8 kids?
Sorry, what? You don't lead with that.
I said, absolutely not. He said, why is that, if you don't mind expanding? I'm trying to learn as much as I can on this subject.
What do you think you are, like some kind of health advisor?
I said, because I'm not a baby maker, I have a lot of shit I want to do. He said, oh, so you don't have good birthing hips, question mark. I said, I would recommend sourcing a Catholic. They don't believe in birth control. He said, yeah, I've thought about that, ha ha. I'm willing to settle for that, but it's not ideal.
Oh.
I said, oh, you're an atheist. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, I think you're going to have to find a slightly more religious girl with a very free schedule. He said, yeah, it sucks. Usually the smarter women are more career oriented and they want 2 to 3 kids, if any at all. And I said, have you ever considered that there may be a good reason for that? He said, I mean, it shouldn't be a revelation to anyone that having 2 to 3 kids is easier than having 8. I stopped responding. And then as late as Monday, the 13th of April, considering that I hadn't gone on Tinder in like weeks and weeks at this point, he said, hi, I miss you. Like, what the fuck?
No. Oh, my God.
I hate it so much. Isn't that an insane interaction to have with someone?
That is the most bizarre exchange I've literally ever heard.
I honestly, I could not write this stuff. I saw this tweet that was like, are you bitches this bad at dating or do you just need the content? And I was like, wow, me. But also, like, the content is comedy gold at times.
It is phenomenal. I mean, that Instagram account that I sent you, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Swipes for Daddy, I think it was. Honestly, I have spent hours and hours trawling through that Instagram account, and it is phenomenal.
It's nice to feel, like, not alone as well.
Yeah.
The fuckery of some of it.
I know, I thought you would probably benefit enormously from seeing that it's not just you that this keeps happening to.
Honestly, no, I love it. And I love She Rates Dogs, and I love Awards for Good Boys as well. Those are two.
Oh my God, Awards for Good Boys is fantastic.
Oh, I love like a soft boy takedown.
Yeah.
The best.
Oh God, so fantastic.
We digress.
I
just love this exchange. We're back at the mausoleum. They're wandering around. They're having a look at all of the different like tombstones. And Stassi goes, oh my God, I love that old timey writing. So cute. Vintage. And Beau just goes, it's Latin.
I wrote down that full exchange as well because it was honestly the best thing ever. And, like, I thought it was such a perfect just, like, depiction of their relationship in one tiny little exchange.
Yeah, that vignette, like, volumes.
I loved your Stassi impression as well, by the way. I think it was very accurate.
Oh, thank you. Did you do Latin at school? Did you also have to do Latin?
We didn't have to do it. We had it as an option. And I never did it.
Oh, I did. Had to do it for 2 years and then you could choose to continue it and then do advanced or not. So I did it for 2 years, then I continued it, but I didn't do the advanced option.
Oh no, so we had to do French and we had to do a year of German and a year of Spanish, and then we had to pick at least one language to continue, and I did French because it was the only one I was actually any good at. Mm-hmm. I absolutely butchered the Spanish language and the German one, so it was for the best of everybody, really, that I gave it up.
Oh, German is so hard. Like, I'm so annoyed that my dad never taught me it because it would be such a, like, German's his first language.
Oh, my God, that would have been a perfect opportunity.
It would have been so good. And I would have just had 3 languages straight off the bat, you know, without even blinking before the age of 3. But
that would be incredible. What's your other language?
I speak English, French and Italian.
Oh, that was it, of course, yeah.
I mean, my Italian is not like great, but I understand everything more or less that's going on, and like I can have basic conversations. I wouldn't say I'm like fluent by any means.
Yeah, like conversational.
It's kind of good that they get you to test them out, though, before they make you choose.
Yeah, I like that as well, because otherwise I probably would have been like, oh, Spanish is so much more exotic, I'll go with that, and then been horrible about it.
Yeah, I tried to do a bit of Spanish on Duolingo because everyone's like, oh, if you speak Italian, Spanish is really easy. I didn't find that at all. Like, I found them to be very different.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never even tried Italian. But it's like one of my favorite like languages and accents ever.
I think, honestly, Italian, if you know French, and if you have also like the Latin background, is pretty simple. Like, the writing is very similar to how you say things. There's a lot of like words that have seeped in to the English languages, you know. So it's not, I don't think it's a particularly hard language, like on the slide.
Yeah. Might give it a go. I've got nothing but time at the minute, so I might as well do something productive.
What were your thoughts on The Ring, by the way?
So I really liked that it was an heirloom. Like, yeah. I thought that was like a really nice touch.
Yeah, because it was like an Art Deco, like Tiffany's piece, right?
Yeah, I think so. So I was like, so, because I love Bob, but I don't think he's like got the best indicator of taste in things. So I was a bit like, oh, is he going to pick a really shit ring? But that ring was actually really nice.
Yeah, I thought it was a really lovely thought. And like anyone that's like, I wouldn't want like a hand-me-down secondhand ring. It's like, mate, it's Art Deco Tiffany's. Like, it's not garbagey like rhinestone paste on a band.
Yeah,
it's not like zirconia. Like,
it's not like it's a hand-me-down from Pandora. Like.
So they sit on this little bench and the ring is in like a little copper receptacle in the grass, and Beau starts to point at it and he's like, oh, I wonder what that is. So then he bends over and he picks it up and he reveals the ring to her. And I think her first response is just muttering, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Which I also loved as a response.
It was very her.
It was like you could sort of see on her face as well. Like, she was trying not to get too excited in case she was wrong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like when until she fully was like, oh, this is really happening, you could see her sort of her face be like, oh my god, is this happening right now, like.
So they share a little kiss, and again, I really like that Stassi actually appreciated the gesture of the family heirloom, because I wouldn't put it past her to be like, secondhand, like.
Yeah, same. So it was nice that she kind of was actually really like, when she said it was like, oh, like I feel like I'm part of history now, like I thought that was such a nice touch.
Yeah, and I think, again, because when it's like a family piece of jewelry, like, you are just saying like you're part of the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is kind of adjacent, but when I was still like more of a hopeless romantic before I got like jaded and cynical, going out with this guy for a couple of years, and he was a pilot, he was really into planes, and my granddad was in the RAF.
All right.
I was clearing out my old room in my house in Brussels, and I came across his like original RAF like medallion badge.
Oh, incredible.
Gave it to this guy. And I was like happy for him to have it and stuff. And
yeah,
it was my mum's dad's as well. And my mum was like, look, I don't have any like emotional connection to it. Like, you can give it to him, blah, 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 if he'd appreciate it. Anyway, when he... Well, I had to end up sending round a van man to get my stuff back, but it's a long story. But anyway, he literally gave it back to me. At the time, I was like, oh my God, that's so rude. Like, I gave you that as some, you know.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of happy because I'm like, well, I have it now, so.
Yeah, exactly. And it's actually like more meaningful for you than it probably was for him.
Yeah, exactly. And now I can like maybe give it to someone else down the line if I feel like sentimental. I don't know. Yeah, like, because that to me was just like a very like nice thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I completely agree. And I'm like the same with stuff like that, where I think it'll mean more to somebody else. I'm just like, I'd like you to have something that's kind of like a part of like my family history and stuff, but like I know it would mean a lot to you, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's nice when we were going through like my grandmother's stuff, like she had left me and my half sister like a couple of pieces each.
Mm-hmm.
And then like we have completely different tastes. So when we were sorting out like the rest of it, it was so much fun. We just tipped out all of our jewelry boxes onto the bed and we were just like, okay, that's silver. Like, you like that. I only wear gold, so like I'll take that. And like, we honestly didn't bicker about anything. So we both had a couple of like nice sentimental pieces, and then for the like the fun stuff we just like passed it out.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I know, it's like I'm like basically the only child really in my family. Like I've got a kind of distant cousin that I never really see all that much, but like I'm really the only child, so it's like I'm kind of like dead smug that I'm, yeah, I get all like, I get people's houses when they go, and like my grandma's got these like pills and stuff that she's like written for me in the will and things, and I'm just like, yeah, I've just amassed my fortune once it's like.
Well, there's got to be some upside. I mean, my mum always like points it because I'm my mum's only child, so my half sister's dad's side. So my mum's always like, when she's looking at buying something, she'll be like, "Well, do you like it? Because you're gonna get it eventually." So that's always quite nice. I get consulted on these things.
That's literally what my mum does as well. She's just like, "Well, it'll be yours eventually." And like, when me and Greg like talked about buying a house and stuff, like my grandma owns her house outright, and she was just like, "Oh, well, you know, if you want, like, at some point, like, I can just move into some kind of like assisted living thing, and like you guys can just pay like the like pay my rent instead, and then it'll pay off the house." But I was like, oh god.
Oh my god, that's so cute of her.
I know, she's literally adorable. Oh,
love her. Love her and her pearls.
I know. I mean, that makes her sound like this very like well-to-do like little old lady, but I mean, she's not. She'll probably outlive the fucking cockroaches and Cher at this point. It could be like a nuclear apocalypse and she'd just be like, still going.
Yeah, I felt like that about my German grandmother as well. She was just so like battle hardened from like the war, you know. Yeah.
That's literally my grandma, and she like, she came like, comes from the Lake District, so she's like a proper like old country lady, like grew up on a farm and all of this, and like
is she ruddy cheeked?
She is, yeah. That kind of like strong jaw of the countryside.
Love that, love that. So they share a little kiss under the sort of willow tree. They're by the side of the lake, and then we get like a little montage of some of their best and worst moments as a couple.
That fucking T-Rex costume. All I could think,
they had to bring it back, didn't they?
I know. All I could think was just like the bigger version that we have to is prop comedy. And I just thought that was so symbolic. And I just, oh. But I mean, it was a nice little sort of flash.
Hello?
Oh, hello?
Hello? You finished your sentence. You said it was just sort of a...
what did I say?
Sorry, I think my sound cut out quickly there.
Oh, that's all right. But no, I was just saying it was just sort of like a nice little montage of like their relationship. And I mean, it was the dinosaur bit was symbolic of Bo's ridiculous dorkiness. But I did like that they included all like the dark bits as well, and like the fact they had all these arguments and stuff. And like, I do think they generally love each other, so it was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was a messy little montage, but it was certainly true to life. And
it was. I mean, there's a lot happening in such a short space of time, but...
And so... Sorry, go on.
And I was going to say, it was nice. Even for my, like, cynical, cold, black heart, I was like, aww.
I loved when they kind of panned out as well from the cemetery. There was that massive mausoleum on the island in the middle of the lake.
Oh, my God, I know. How fabulous is that?
Such a power move.
I know.
So we head to Villa Rosa, and Lisa is looking like a Dolce & Gabbana advert, just come to life with her headband and her little like black broderie anglaise dress, which I'm sure is Dolce.
I would think so.
And Lana walks in some literal, like two gold tea towels together with like a suggestion of metal chains.
I love that Lisa was like, did you just walk past my husband in that dress?
Yeah, and she's not wearing any underwear, so this is sent you that out of context screenshot of Lala getting her ass out.
I love it.
Kitchen island.
I love that it flashed to Ken though, and Ken was just like, oh god.
Yeah, Ken just behind that glass door, just dissociating.
Oh, bless him. It's probably the best thing that's happened to him in ages, to be fair.
Like I say, I truly believe that Ken has not looked at another woman since marrying Lisa. And that's the narrative that I choose to buy into.
I totally buy into that as well. And I think it's so lovely. And you can tell that even stuff like that, like, he's more uncomfortable with it Do you know what I mean?
It's not faced at all.
Yeah, like,
it's just worldly woman. Like, he would never leave Lisa for a younger model.
Oh, absolutely not. You can tell, like, Ken knows which side his bread is buttered.
And so they're talking about Kristen not being invited to the party in spite of everything. Lala and Katie have, like, no remorse for this.
I know. I'm quite surprised at Lala.
Yeah, so then Lala rings Kristen and then sort of tells her that she thinks it's weird that she initiated a dialogue with Beau on the status of their friendship.
I know, and I kind of, like, I mean, it probably seems weirder to Lala because obviously she knew what was going to happen, but she has to remember that, like, A, she's not in the position that Kristen is, where Kristen was obviously friends with Beau. Also, Kristen had no idea about any of the stuff that was, like, the proposal or anything like that either.
No, and I don't think she was out of line asking Beau where she stood with regards to him. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were friends. It's a perfectly viable thing to be like, are we going to get on? Are we going to be civilized? You know, what's the story? I don't think that was unnecessary.
No, I don't think it was in a particularly aggressive way. I mean, it maybe wasn't the time or the place, or she was maybe a bit more emotional about it than maybe she should have been, considering the surroundings. But I don't think it was an unreasonable question, and I don't really get why Lala was like, well, just like, no 30 something people I know, like, ever ask if we're still friends. And it's like, maybe they should.
yeah I agree,
rather than just kind of being like, oh well, we're not friends, like, I don't think we're friends, and then bitching and complaining about it. Like, why not just be straight up and be like, are we friends or not? Like, I need to know where I stand.
I think it's very proactive. So I like Kristen's methodology here.
I do as well. I'm kind of siding with Kristen on this one. And, like, obviously, like, the next scenes when it, like, cuts to being at Kristen's, and I just felt so sad that she'd found out online.
Yeah, and I just think as well, like, Lala has gone fully Witches of WeHo, and I just find it really ironic because, like, had she never met Rand, had she still been, like, hanging out with James Kennedy, like, would they have let her into the fold?
Exactly. And even if she had, I think she wouldn't have managed to make it to such, like, a comfortable standing with them all, because I think if she was still single and she wasn't with Randall and she was still sort of behaving like she was at the start, I don't think any of them would trust her.
No, and she wouldn't have been kind of in that side of the group, I don't think.
No, I agree. I think she probably would have actually ended up more in the Sheena kind of territory, where she sort of floats between everybody.
Yeah, like, not necessarily having, like, major beef, but not being, like, a confidant either.
Yeah, exactly. Although it's weird thinking back about it now, I don't really know at which point Lala really started to be part of the group, like, main like, best friends of them all.
I think that Lala bonded quite a lot with Brittany when it was, like, run up to the wedding, I feel.
Yeah, I think so, because it feels like very much like this series over last, she's definitely a lot closer with them all.
Yeah, didn't they all go away at some point, like, over the summer in between filming?
Yeah, I think they might have. I can't remember where it was, but I feel like I remember seeing that.
I think they went to Europe.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Oh my god, I would die to see them all in, like, Paris or something. Because no one else would know who they were.
I know, they'd be such a nonity, I think, in most European, like, continental countries.
Oh, in Paris, they'd just be like, I don't care what these city bitches are. They'd be like, bon, c'est pas. C'est personne d'important. Yeah, Belgian French is not so sexy as French French.
Oh, I don't know, I think you were working it.
Like, if I ever put on, like, a French accent, I've been asked to do that before, I will go for French French, not Belgian French. Okay, so then we go back to, oh no, wait. Ugh. Oh yeah, okay, so now they're at Villa Rosa and they've got, like, everyone hiding in the corridor, and Lisa gets them all to kind of poke their heads out when Stassi and Beau arrive. Everyone was outside busy, like, with the miniature ponies, which was quite
I know, I love that everyone was just like just genuinely pleased to be in Villa Rosa. Like nobody really gave a shit why they were there. They were just wanting an excuse to snoop around.
And then we cut to Nikolai and Sheena.
Oh god.
And I was dying at this edit. Like I loved it so much.
This, oh my god, like so honestly, I cannot cope with the Sheena Nikolai edit. Like I was cringing to death.
There, you know how there's like the villain edit?
Yeah.
I think Sheena gets the first edit.
She does.
Slash the pity edit, like every single season without fail.
Yeah, she's always either crying or literally just like thirsting after at least two different people.
Yeah, just two modes.
Yeah.
And then I did actually, okay, so I really don't like Tom Schwartz. He fully made me laugh when he was saying that he tempted everyone to Villa Rosa with a promise of like a fusion tasting menu. But then that wasn't the funny bit. The funny bit was like the specificity of the lie and how comprehensive his vision was for this fake meal. And I don't know why, but like the detail of the mini iron skillets and like the genuine disappointment in Sandoval's voice, like that to me was really, really just like an excellent little detail.
So that really, really got me as well. Like I was having a proper little chuckle at that. And it's like everybody always says, like, if you want to tell a good lie, like you don't get into too much detail. And he just threw that all out the window.
There's an Ethiopian meal, there's gonna be like a Japanese course.
And you could tell like he started to genuinely believe it.
Like, yeah, I want to like, is Schwartz known for cooking?
Yeah, this is the other thing that I couldn't quite figure out was why everybody believed that with such like veracity.
Because I really can't picture him being like, I don't know, tending to anything, even a casserole baby lizard, you know.
I know, he doesn't strike me as the type that will be able to whip up even one of those dishes, much less seven of them for like 15 people or whatever it was,
including like creative plating option.
Yeah. I'm genuinely shocked that he even knew what a skillet was.
Men seem to get very invested in their skillets.
Yeah, just in cookware in general, I think. My dad loves nothing more than talking about his new frying pan.
Oh, that's, is it like a non-stick Teflon?
It is. And he used to have one, but it just wasn't quite right. So he really splashed out and branched out and bought this amazing one. And like at least once a week, he'll, like when I'm FaceTiming them or something, he'll pop in the corner. Be like, oh, this frying pan, brilliant, you know. I've just managed to do this and not one thing is stuck to it.
To be fair, like, is there any better feeling after you've been using shit cookware for months to use, like, proper good pan?
It is literally, like, a dream. There's very few things in the world that have a better feeling with them than that.
I remember my ex's dad asked for this special kind of pan for Christmas, and he was like, oh, can you come with me to the shop to, like, go and get it? This was, like, a couple of Christmases ago. And the idea was that it was, like, copper-plated, or there was some, like, copper element which helped it to, like, not corrode over time or whatever. £600 for a 63.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, I know. That was insane.
I mean, I love a good frying pan, but that is just too far. There is no need. That's a full, like
unless you're cooking meals that are equal to that value.
Yeah. I'd rather pay the £600 to go to somewhere like Italy and just eat for a week.
Oh yeah, exactly. Could Michelin star it for like it's on the trot for that.
Exactly.
So then Katie's saying that she was like hinting at Stassi to wear something a bit better. And the way that she did this was like, hey, why don't you wear your ghost outfit because you're going to the cemetery?
I love that they're also on board with the ghost outfit notion because I know we love a ghost outfit.
I think it's such a good way of like getting her to dress up. Like, what would your ghost outfit be?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I enjoy so much like colour and print and things. I feel like it would have to be something that's like so out there. Like, I've got some like silver cowboy boots and I feel like those with like a cow print and a hot pink or something like that is very me.
Oh, that is a strong witch vibe. Yeah, I like that.
She says, as I'm currently wearing neon pink tracksuit bottoms and an Adidas vest, but I mean...
I just decided, because I was then thinking, like, what would my ghost outfit be? But I actually decided that I want to be cremated, because honestly, like, the thought of having to commit to one aesthetic for the rest of my days really scares me. And if I got cremated, I figure I could just come back as like an amorphous cloud of dust and just work my imperious and booming like ghost voice rather than what I'm actually wearing, you know?
I love that for you. Just like an omnipresent dust cloud.
Yeah, that just felt safer for me. Just for my long-term, like, ghostly mental health.
Yeah. I mean, you've really got to think in, like, centuries here, so it's probably for the best, to be honest.
Yeah, if not millennia.
Yeah.
So Brittany is, like, slightly pissed off that Lisa didn't put on a big old dinner for them.
Oh, she was livid, wasn't she? She was seething. Like, you could tell she was trying to pass it off with, like, a good-natured southern joke, but she was fucking furious.
I know. I just, it's like, honey, you're too Kentucky for that. Like,
yeah. And I also love that Lisa made such a big deal of the fact that she was serving Stacey.
Yeah, that was a good photo op.
It was. I did also love a little dig of just like, this is how you should have been serving people for years.
I know, but Stacey still came out on top, so who's the real son?
Well, exactly.
And so Jax literally starts like instinctively pot stirring. He's got his phone out, he's gonna text Carter. Like, they literally can't get through a meal without drama. Oh,
he just can't help himself, can he? Like, I would be so livid if somebody did this at my like engagement party, engagement dinner, especially when it's like, I'm just trying to fucking eat some nice food. Like, do you know how rare it is to sit like in Villa Rosa with Lisa having served me? I would be like, just stop.
Yeah, you can tell that Beau was just like tired.
Yeah, he was like weather worn from it, wasn't he? He was just like, oh, this shit again.
And then we cut to Sheena and Nikolai. I love her so much.
Honestly, I was just, the fucking balls on her is astronomical. And I can't believe that she can do it with so little shame.
Oh, but then I hate that the producers obviously tricked her into being like, well, I don't know, I've dated like 21-year-olds before, but I don't think I'd go any younger than that. Like, like, you know that they've asked her some like questions to like get her to say something.
Yeah, that they can then like splice in after this scene.
Yeah, so painful.
I also loved Ariana alluding to the ghost of Kristen at the table.
I missed that.
So it was like, because Kristen's place setting was like next to Ariana, so there was like an empty chair, and Ariana was like, oh, I feel like it's like the ghost of the feast. Like, Kristen should just be sat here going like, my eardrums are too small, I can't hear what anyone's saying.
Just to continue the like vaguely goth undertones.
I think that's just like an ongoing theme throughout this whole episode though.
Yeah, and I actually felt that like Lisa's outfit was kind of goth bride vibes.
Yeah, I did as well. I was actually really impressed with her. I also love that she offered Stacey a dress.
Just, yeah.
If she wanted to change out of her denim shorts ensemble.
I would have liked to see what dress she would have picked out.
I would as well. Also, I can't believe Stacey said no, because quite frankly, the opportunity to raid Lisa's wardrobe would have been everything.
Oh yeah, just to be in there.
Yeah, just have a little rootle around.
So then Bo is like, they wander off and Bo kind of stands on the edge of the hill and shouts that he's engaged. And I was just like, oh, he's such an ENFP.
It's me. I cringed so hard. It's like yodeling off to the valley.
It honestly, it's giving me like traumatic flashbacks to the guy that was in musicals.
Everything had to be done through the medium of song.
Yeah, everything was like singing. There was lots of like dancing interludes, which at the time was quite lighthearted and fun. But then I remember at one point we went out and we were at Bongo's Bingo, and there was like some techno, like Euro music that came on. And he just started doing like aggressive jump style.
No.
And everyone was just like completely speechless. And everyone at our like long table just turned.
Oh my God. That was
like, is that your boyfriend? And I was like, No.
Absolutely not.
Think so? Is he? I was like, honestly, we haven't had the conversation.
I'd just be like, no, hard no, absolutely not, especially not after tonight.
Yeah, he pretended he was gay that entire night as well to the girls next to us, so I think it got very confusing. Anyway, then we go to the Sir Alley.
Yeah.
And Brett just like slurms up to the girls to come and chat with Dana.
Oh, they're so stale as a couple.
Dana is still saying dope about everything.
In that like flat, like dead-eyed way that she does.
And then Brett is almost like the opposite in that he can't talk about anything without like rolling his neck, and he's always like huffing his eyebrows, and he's like very restless. I don't know.
He's so fidgety, isn't he? It's like he just looks, I don't know, like uncomfortable, or like he's trying to draw attention to himself. Like, I don't know what it is, but I do know that Brett loves nothing more than talking about people understanding him.
Oh God, yeah. And you can just tell that like he thinks he's so smooth when he like floats this softball metaphor where he's like, I don't know, could I get to second base? And it's
that whole clunky home run analogy exchange between them was just, oh, it was so forced, and it was just like the most like sexless thing I've ever heard.
It was pain.
It wasn't.
Life is pain.
It was terrible. It was truly terrible. And it was a scene that just didn't need to be there either.
Yeah. And again, we're there for like 3 minutes, and then we immediately switch back to like Stassi and Beau. So
it was exactly kind of
necessary. And Stassi says that she wants to get married in Italy.
Which I actually think is really nice, because I think all of Beau's family are from Italy.
Are they?
Yeah, or they live in Italy or something. I think his sister's Italian.
Oh, right.
I think, I remember listening to Stassi's podcast, like, not last year, the year before, maybe? Like, not long after they started going out, and, like, they'd gone to Italy together to, like, see his family and stuff.
Oh, interesting, because Beau is obviously a French name.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Bogey, is it?
Oh, God.
I think that's genuinely his name. I think that's why his Instagram handle is the good, the bad, and the bogey.
No, no one's called Bogey.
I think he is.
Oh, my God.
I know. We need to do some research into Beau's background. We need to know more about him.
That's horrific. Yeah, I really like that she wanted to get married in Italy. I always thought, like, if I ever do get married, like, maybe not for the wedding itself, but for, like, my bachelorette equivalent, I would want to hire a villa in Tuscany. And that just, would be, you know, or use my friends because it's lush, and just find all of my friends, like male, female, everyone, and just have like a solid, like long weekend of drinking, like eating out on the terrace, like cooking amazing food, and just like lounging.
Oh, that sounds absolutely incredible.
Like, not a club in sight, no,
yeah,
boppers allowed.
No, I've made very strict instructions that when eventually we come to have like any kind of engagement party or a hen do or whatever. Like, I don't even like the word hen do. Like, it makes me kind of just cringe a little bit. But I was like, there is to be no penis shaped anything. There is to be no sashes, no L plates, no head boppers.
Nothing flammable.
Anything.
Like, do you know what you'd maybe want to do?
I have genuinely absolutely no idea. And like, it's really hard because like, I don't have like a big, like, I've only got 3 bridesmaids that I got, but then I've got like a great big group of like girlfriends and things like that, and they're all like dead keen to do something, but also like I just hate the idea of this like great big like screechy girls night out, do you know what I mean?
Why don't you just do like little like separate ones for like all of the different friend groups? Because I think one of the difficult things is when you have loads of like friends scattered around, like bringing them all together, and like it just doesn't sometimes
I know, I think I need to come up with something. Because I want to do something that's kind of, like, really, like, looks and fun and things like that. And I don't want to do, like, a night out. Because it was, like,
like, who knows when we're next going to have a night out anyway, do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And I mean, it is hard as well because, obviously, me and Greg have, like, all of our best friends are kind of the same people. So everybody also wants us to do stuff together. But then Greg has, like, his stag party with his brothers because they're dead keen to like, go away, and I was like, if you're fucking going away, then I'm going away.
Yeah.
you don't get to go abroad and I don't.
I just think just like milk it for all it's worth. Just have like multiple of everything.
Yeah, I feel like I might do that because I mean, hopefully I'm only getting married once. So unless I become some kind of like jaded divorcee by the time I'm like 40 years old.
In which case you can join the club with me.
And yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it. So then we cut to Jax and Brittany and they're going around to Kristen's. Jax is very into his grass cutting and I kind of love this little like moment for him where he's like explaining about the different grass varieties and it's like, wow, Jax, that's depth.
I was possibly the most wholesome thing that's ever happened to Jax Taylor.
Yes,
but I mean,
like, oh my god, is he a changed man?
Yeah, but I mean, does anybody really love cutting grass that much, or is it just a ruse so he doesn't have to go in the house and be a part of that conversation?
That's possibly what it was. I also think that when it cuts to the testimonial, Kristen looks amazing in these testimonials where she had the blue dress and smoky eye. There was something that looked different about her.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Like, I don't know if she just looked sort of like a little bit healthier or whether it was just the colour on her or what, but she looked amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was maybe like the eye makeup was like softer. Yeah, she looked so hot.
She looked incredible.
And then we go to the softball match.
Which I actually love this sort of segment of the episode as well. I think this is why I enjoyed this like episode so much, because it was like two major things happened. And I feel like both of them were really fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't massively sure on the softball tournament, but I think my attention span in general was starting to get a bit shot at this point.
It did feel like the longest episode in the world, I must admit.
I love that they just do a little detail of Tom spinning the bat like a majorette. That just was so on brand.
And it was the fact that it sort of went on just a little bit too long, which is just the most Sandoval thing ever. I love that he was like, oh, we picked black because it hides dirt and it's slimming.
Yeah, it is universally slimming, Tom. Right. I love that you would think about that.
I know, and I love that he used that as like his method for picking their team outfits.
And that they both ended up turning on the same thing anyway.
Yeah.
And then Sheena has some like family softball heritage.
Oh my god, I know. And she's in like, her great aunt was like on the team that League of Their Own's based on.
Which was insane. And I just think everyone was just like shocked to see Sheena display a degree of competency at any.
I know. I mean, when she threw that first pitch, I was like, oh hey, Sheena's not that bad at this. And then when she went on to be like, oh yeah, so like I was like I can't remember what she said, whether she was like a softball champion or something, but yeah, I was like, I'm so shocked that you were like this able and capable at anything that didn't involve twerking.
But it does involve wearing shorts and thigh-high socks.
It does. So I mean, she's still on brand.
And a high pony, obviously.
Yeah. She's very much in her comfort zone still.
And then on the sidelines of the game that's going on, James and Katie sort of sit down to have a chat together.
I was actually really pleased that they had this conversation. And like the edit before it cut away to like what would have been like the ad break made it seem like Katie was going to be really shitty about it. And I was kind of like, oh, don't do that. Like be better. But I was actually really pleased that she was so receptive to it.
Yeah, it felt sincere to me.
Yeah, from both ends as well. Like I got the sense that like obviously James truly meant it. But I also got the sense that Katie wasn't just like accepting it to be like over with, do you know what I mean? Like it was like it actually meant something to her that he'd apologized.
I think the context of it helped. I think the fact that it was like middle of the day, I think you could tell that he was kind of visibly uncomfortable. He goes bright red and he's like a bit awkward.
Yeah,
I think he needs to see it through on the testimonials and like resist the urge to get like too sassy in hindsight as well.
Yeah, he tries to get like a little bit quippy and things like that, and it's just like, oh, you're just undoing it because it makes it look insincere.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think Katie's probably just like over it at this point.
Yeah, and I mean it. What to be fair, the stuff that James said to her was vile. So like, I do sort of understand her reluctance to ever let it go. So if somebody said stuff like that to me, I'd be like, why would I want to be friends with this person?
Yeah, I think it's more just like being civilized, isn't it? And like,
exactly.
I know that he's drunk when he said it, but that that doesn't mean that you don't mean it. It just means exactly. You're saying stuff that you wouldn't normally like express out loud.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think just makes it all the harder because you're like, oh, well, you were obviously thinking this anyway. So,
yeah. And so I was just thinking about like, what kind of sports did you do at school? Like, did your school like specialize in something?
We mostly, it was like hockey and netball, and I was on like the field hockey team. Okay. But they also did like a lot of athletic stuff. So it was like long jump, and they did a lot of like cross country, which I was not involved in because I cannot run.
Oh, so cross country is horrible. Like, I hate that. Like, I can do a sprint. Like, I can like, go pretty fast because I have quite long legs. Like back in the day when I had both my lungs. like an obligatory cross country tournament thing that was like mandatory every year. But it wasn't cross country. It was just laps around like our campus, which was all just concrete. Oh, and I think one lap was like half a kilometer. So you'd have to do like 7 or 8 laps or whatever. And it was just horrible. And so to like cheer ourselves up, because we really didn't want to do it, but we loved our gym teacher. She was called Miss Jessie. She was Greek. She was amazing.
Incredible.
And she was like, girls, please, you have to do this for me. So we were like, okay, we'll do it. But like, we wanted to lighten it up because we weren't running to like win it. There were always like a handful of people that got really like obsessed with it. So we decided to run as a herd of Platsies. So we printed out her face and made like masks. And we ran as like a group of like 12 Platsies like all together. And I don't really know how she felt about it. Like at the time she was like, I love you girls. But in hindsight, it must have been really weird. Like it must have been terrifying.
Oh my God, I love that so much though.
We did not come like early in the race.
I love that. I used to love like PE and sports at school.
It was fun and like it was a great excuse as well because we were in with some of the like scary French girls and like when we used to play hockey against them, it was always a fun excuse to get like unnecessarily aggressive. And then once a year we had like an indoor gymnasium, and then once a year they used to pay this company to come in and they would do like a full-on like assault obstacle course where they'd have stuff like hanging from the ceilings and oh my god it was amazing. And then the gym session was just like an hour and a half of you could just play on that, and there were like zip wires and like so good.
Oh my god, that sounds absolutely amazing. I'm so jealous.
I just called it like the Tarzan circuit or something.
That is so good. The most exciting thing that happened to us is like we used to play tennis in the summer, and if it was too rainy to play on the tennis courts, they'd take us inside and we got to play table tennis, and that was about as thrilling as it got for us.
Oh my god, we had ping pong tables as well. We had like 6 ping pong tables. I hated ping pong so much.
I don't mind it so much now. I used to hate it when I was in school, but now I kind of don't really mind it all that much.
Oh, it used to stress me out. Like I like badminton because there's a lot of running, but at least you have time to like dash from court to the other, whereas ping pong is just like really frenetic.
Yeah.
Stressful. So Raquel is channeling her inner pageant queen for the softball tournament. She's like, people I think that I'm not competitive, I haven't been in pageants. I really need to stop trying to do them.
No, I love them so much. They add so much depth to the characters. I love it.
I can't help myself. It's really bad. And then Ariana actually gets hit in the face.
Oh my god, so I howled at this. Even Greg, despite himself, found this the funniest thing he's ever seen. I was literally like cackling at it.
So how did it actually happen? Because I feel like I turned away for 2 seconds to have a sip of my coffee, and next thing I just got a mouthful of blood.
So I think essentially what she tried to do was she tried to throw the bat into the ground as if to be like, oh fuck, you know, like, yeah, we lost, whatever. And she threw it sort of like end up, so it just bounced back into her face.
No!
Yeah.
Oh god, I assumed that it was like, I just didn't think that's how it happened.
No, so it was like, and I saw on her Instagram, she put up a picture where she'd had to have a stitch inside and out because her tooth had actually gone clean through her lip. But yeah, essentially what she managed to do was hit herself in the face with her own bat whilst not even holding it.
Oh, but she's so badass because she's literally just like lolling and she's just like
I love that.
Like zombie bride teeth.
Yeah, like lesser mortals would have got really upset and demanded to be taken to the hospital, and Ariana's just like gurning around with her bloody teeth.
I love her so much.
I do as well. I'm such an Ariana fan.
So that kind of wraps up the episode, and then we get, oh my god, we get the preview.
Oh god, that music video. The Sheena music video. I genuinely don't think I could watch it. Like, my cringeometer is off the charts.
Brett being like, I actually felt genuinely violated. And then I think he's going to try and initiate, like, a conversation with her about it.
I think so as well. And, like, I do, I almost understand him, because I also think that Sheena would have gone full ball to the wall and taken every opportunity to, A, try and make him uncomfortable, and B, to make it as, like, sexy as she thought she could.
What's the song?
I don't know. I can't remember the the clip of it that it played, but there was not a lot of neon light and writhing on top of Brett on a bed, so.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to look that up when we
get online. I'm so excited.
And then we also get a flash to possibly the old Jax rearing his head.
I know. And I actually, like, I know we think Britney's like the nice but dumb but dull person, but like I would actually feel terrible for her if he did go back to his old ways. But I can't figure out what triggered it.
So, okay, this is why I wouldn't feel bad for Britney, because quite frankly, she knows what she's getting herself into.
Yeah.
She signed up for it. She willingly signed up for it. Like, she wants to be on TV. Like, she knew that's the life that she was going for. Like, the way that he held the boob job over her head, the way he held everything over her head. It's like, honey, like...
Yeah, that is so true. And then when he obviously cheated on her as well, like, that should have been closing the doors on that entirely. So I do agree. I think she's not at fault, but also she knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like a massive amount of sympathy for her, because I think she's got this very naive attitude where she's like, well, once we're married, everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
And it's like, that doesn't really... So it's just not a very mature or like adult way to approach things. And I think it is a very like sheltered upbringing, like small town, maybe also somewhat like religious way to look at things, rather than being very practical and being like, well, this is how life is going to unfold. And like, how can we work this around each other? Like, I'm not averse to the idea of like, I don't know, an open marriage and things like that. And I just think, I think that is maybe not for everyone, but I think there's like, you have to bring a degree of like reality into this. Whereas Britney is very much like 2 + 2 = 4 and everything's get, you know, like man and wife equals happy forever.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's that very southern thing of like, oh, as soon as you're married, that's it. You know, it's the eyes of God. You can't be an adulterer or what have you. And it's like, honey, you married Jax Taylor. Like,
yeah, and like lol at the mum that's been divorced like 4 times, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, but I'm intrigued to see how that unfolds and what sort of triggers it off.
So am I. The only thing that I think is a shame is like it's come very late on in the season for it to like actually hook me in, you know?
Yeah, I know. I think it's the first time where I've actually been like, ooh, I'm interested to see what's going to happen there. Whereas for the rest of the season, I've just been like, eh.
Yeah.
So hopefully, is it going to end anytime soon? I mean, that was episode, what, 17?
Yeah, I don't know how long they usually make the seasons.
I can't remember there being this many episodes every season, but maybe there was and I just haven't realised.
I'll check on Hey You and see what passes. Because I kind of want to know like where we're at in the timeline as well.
I do as well. Like, I need to know if we're like drawing to a close or if we've still got, you know, a good few weeks left to go or what's happening.
Only time.
Also, it'll be quite weird because obviously they can't do the reunion or anything. So.
Yeah, and I'm not actually like as upset about that as I would have been if I thought the season was more like compelling, you know?
Yeah, same. I also feel like all the conflicts that have happened, apart from like the Witches of WeHo, I feel like all the conflicts that have happened have kind of just been resolved or like been such a nonity that I don't really care whether they've been resolved or care to hear them like rehash it.
Yeah, they've been like produced, and then like the apology scene has also been produced.
Yeah, it's I don't know, I have enjoyed this series, but it's definitely lost a bit of its shine that it used to have. So I'm interested to sort of see how they go out, like how they finish it off.
Yeah, I think it's going to get renewed certainly for next season, because I'll have to have Starcy's wedding. I think that's a given, although I guess I'll have to push things back in terms of production. Did you see that they've actually delayed Real Housewives of Potomac as well?
Oh, have they?
Yeah, that's so incredible. The series is like finished, but they're going to air it a bit later on to like stretch things.
I suppose that makes sense. At least there's more viewing for us.
One final thought as well. Before we wrap up, so you know how we were talking about Leah and the tiki torches and like the ruling classes and like why she got fixated on them?
Oh yes.
Okay, so I was listening to, well, I listened to Watch What Crappens and I listened to Ryan Bailey as well. And they had both seen her on Watch What Happens Live. Do you know why it was the tiki torches? It was because of the Charlottesville rallies.
Oh my god, of course.
I know. So actually, she was like, no, this represents like white nationalism and like white supremacy. And it was around like that sort of time.
Oh, of course. I was going to say, because you kind of lose the context a little bit, obviously, when you don't know when it's being filmed and stuff. So that's really interesting.
And that's why she said to Tinsley, you don't watch the news enough.
Oh, because I didn't, like I was saying, like we were saying, like, I don't understand what news she's referring to. But obviously, if this was recorded like last year, then obviously it would have made much more like contextual sense then.
Exactly. And this just again made me like her even more, because I was like, she's like on the ball, she knows what's going on, like she knows that this country has like problems.
So I love that. And I love that
aging against the bourgeoisie, because like tiki torches are often I don't know, seen on like fancy lawns. It was actually like a symbol of like fascism that she was trying to physically and metaphorically put out.
That's incredible. Oh, I love her even more now.
I know.
I think she's rapidly becoming one of my favourite ever housewives.
Yeah.
I mean, she could still always have like, could always go the other way as well, because I've had this with a lot of housewives before. I've been like, oh, I think they're great. And then as the season goes on, you're like, oh, actually. But I don't really feel like they can edit her to make her look bad.
No.
Because I think she's such, like, in ownership of her own bullshit at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, if she fucks up, she knows she's fucked up. So I don't feel like she's kind of the kind of person where she can get a bad edit, if that makes sense.
And I mean, the thing is, like, I love Ramona as a housewife. Do I like her as a human? No, I think she's awful. But she's great TV and she's a great character.
Exactly. Whereas Leah's just a good all-rounder.
I am so excited. It's episode 5.
It should be out tomorrow, shouldn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so we can reconvene over the weekend and get chatting.
Same. I will leave you to your day and I will see you on the other side of Roni.
I can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was good.
That was really good.
I feel like there was definitely more to say.